Hello and welcome to another episode of Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. Today is Monday, February the 13th of 2017. I had a resolution that I made at the beginning of this year that I wanted to try to do the Word Magazines more frequently, and I've not lived up to it. I've only done one. This is the beginning of the seventh week, that's hard to believe, of 2017, and I've only done one Word Magazine this year, so I'm trying to catch up today. And for the topic today, although I am very often doing topics on text criticism, I thought I might do something a little bit different. I thought I might address an issue related to the Synoptic Gospels and how we harmonize and understand Matthew, Mark, and Luke, how they're to be understood literarily. Are they literarily related? Are they literarily dependent upon one another? That's easy for you to say. And the impetus for this was I teach a course called New Testament Early Christianity at a local community college, and I had a student ask me about a passage in the Gospel of Mark, and a particular verse, Mark 2:14, where there's a description of the call of Levi, and he's called Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And of course, the passage is interesting because in Matthew's Gospel, the same account is given of the call of a tax collector, and he's called Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, he's called simply Levi, but in Mark 2:14, he's called Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And another assignment that I'd given to the students, and I typically do this, I typically have my students read one of the Gospels. In the first half of the class, I either have them read Matthew or Mark, and they have to write summaries of each chapter. And then the second half of the class, when we're studying the life and letters of Paul, I have them read either the book of Acts or one of Paul's letters, sometimes both. But anyway, she had to read the Gospel of Mark, and so she had caught on that in Mark 2:14, Levi is called Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and there also is in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, when there's a listing of the 12 disciples. There's a disciple who is called James, the son of Alphaeus, and she's wondering, are these the same person with two different names, or are they brothers? What's the relationship between Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the son of Alphaeus, the disciple? And this is probably something that I've run across before in reading the Gospels, but I was able to give her an answer off the cuff. And tell her that I thought that the Alphaeus that is mentioned are two different persons and not the same person. It was an issue that, you know, sent me back to the study to want to look at this a little more closely. And I am interested in the issue of the Synoptic Gospels, their relationship to each other. I should say maybe the so-called Synoptic Gospels. That's typical scholarly language for Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Sometimes I think there is a wedge that is driven between the first three Gospels and the Gospel of John. I'm more and more convinced that that there are more similarities with John and the other Gospels than there are differences. But anyway, I got started thinking about this, did a little bit of study on this question, and thought I would just share a little bit with this of this with you, so that I could get another Word Magazine done. And this will probably be a little bit shorter one than some previous ones that we've done. And I've also, by the way, some of the research that I did and a few tables and things like that, I will post to my blog, jeffriddle.net. I'll put a post up on Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and the synoptic problem. But so let me just review the question. Again, if we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them have a parallel account of the calling of one of the 12 disciples. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's found in Matthew 9:9, where it reads, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And then there's a further description of Jesus going to his home and being criticized for that. And then in Mark 2:14, again, early in Jesus' ministry, the call of the disciples, of some of the early disciples, it says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And then finally, in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, again, similar parallel passage. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican or a tax collector named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. So there are a lot of things that are the same about all three of these accounts. In all of them, Jesus is passing through. He sees a man. He, in all three, it says he's sitting at the receipt of custom. Jesus says to him, follow me. And the man follows him. The difference is in the name. Of course, in Matthew's gospel, he's called Matthew. And then when Matthew lists the 12 disciples in Matthew 10, 2 through 4, when he comes to the listing of Matthew that is paired with Thomas, unique among the Gospels, there is a description of Matthew as the publican or the tax collector. But again, oddly enough, in Mark and in Luke, he's not called Matthew. He's called instead, again, in Mark 2:14, Levi, the son of Alphaeus. In Luke 5:27, he's called Levi. Tradition has assumed that, I think rightly so, that all three of these passages are parallel to one another, and they refer to the same individual who is identified by Matthew as Matthew, by Mark and Luke as Levi, again, by Mark, furthermore, as Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And again, my student had picked up on this, and she was perceptive enough to pick up on this, the distinction of this description. And again, was trying to figure out what's the connection between Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and a disciple who is mentioned in the list of the disciples, who is called James, the son of Alphaeus. At this point, it might be helpful to look at the lists, the listing of the 12. And it is an interesting occurrence that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is a listing of the 12 disciples. Luke also calls them the 12 apostles. And there's another list that also appears in the book of Acts, in the first chapter of Acts. Of course, after the betrayal and the death of Judas, so it's not a listing of the 12, but of the remaining 11. But James, the son of Alphaeus, appears there as well. So let's just look briefly at each one of those lists. And again, I'll have a post at jeffriddle.net with a table comparing them, and you can look at it there. But in Matthew 10, verses 2 through 4, it says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So again, in Matthew's gospel, Matthew is called Matthew and not Levi. There are some things about the list in Matthew that are typical of the list as it appears elsewhere. Simon Peter is first in the list, showing his prominence among the 12. Judas Iscariot is listed last, and it's explained that he's the one who betrayed Jesus. If we move and look at Mark 3, verses 14 through 19, it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. Basically the same as Matthew's. There are some variations. For one thing, whereas Matthew lists Simon and Andrew, and then James and John, Mark has Simon, then James and John, and he also adds the nickname for them, Boanerges, the sons of thunder, and then he lists the name of Andrew. Also, whereas in Matthew, Thomas is listed first, then Matthew second, Mark has Matthew first, then Thomas second, but they both list a figure named James, the son of Alphaeus. Let's look at Luke now. Luke chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. It says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor." So there's some, you know, interesting facets of Luke's list. Again, largely exactly the same, but there are a few wrinkles on it. Like Matthew, he has Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. He doesn't add any further descriptors for James and John. Whereas Matthew calls them the son of Zebedee, and Mark gives them says that they had the name Boanerges, sons of thunder. Luke simply just says James and John. He has James the son of Alphaeus, just as Matthew and Mark do. Two other things that are different: he calls Simon the second Simon, not Simon Peter. But the one who is called Simon the Canaanite in Matthew and Mark is called Simon Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot, in Luke. And also, he does not list anyone with the name Thaddeus, but instead he mentions a disciple named Judas, the brother of James. And tradition assumes that Thaddeus is also known as Judas, the brother of James. Again, in the first century, many Jews were known by more than one name. We can think of John Mark in the book of Acts, who had two names. And so Thaddeus is assumed also to have been Judas, the brother of James. But the common factor for our purposes in this study is we've got James, the son of Alphaeus, who is mentioned. And if we look then finally at the listing in Acts 1:13, it says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes." And again, this is a listing of the 11. Judas Iscariot is dead. Oh, by the way, after Simon Zelotes, it does add, "and Judas, the brother of James." I just was scrolling down and forgot to read that. But anyway, so it's got the 11 without Judas Iscariot. And it does mention, again, for the fourth time, James, the son of Alphaeus, as being among the disciples. Of course, the Gospel of John does not have a listing of the names of the 12, although we know that John knows that Jesus had 12 disciples. He refers to the 12 several times throughout his Gospel, the duodeca, although he does not list them in the way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do, or as Luke does in the book of Acts. So again, the thing that stands out is, as the student that I have correctly noted, that there's a disciple named James, the son of Alphaeus. And she's asking, what relationship, if any, is there between Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the son of Alphaeus? Well, if we accept the traditional and I think very logical conclusion that Matthew is equal to Levi. Levi, the son of Alphaeus in Mark 2:14, or simply as he's called Levi in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. If we assume that Matthew is equal to Levi, then we've got the question of what relationship, if any, does Matthew have with James, the son of Alphaeus, listed as the disciple? The name Alphaeus is not an Old Testament name. It's not a biblical name from the Old Testament. It only appears five times within the New Testament. And I've made reference already to all five of those. They're, aside from the Mark 2:14 reference, Levi, the son of Alphaeus. The only other time the name Alphaeus appears is in the listing of the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, in Mark 3, in Luke 6, and in Acts 1. We're not told anything else about Alphaeus. We don't know who Alphaeus was. So if we're going to decipher this, how do we figure this out? One possibility would be to decide that Matthew slash Levi and James, the son of Alphaeus, the disciple, could have been brothers, because it's Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and they could have both been the sons of the same man named Alphaeus. The other possibility, however, is that they were not brothers, but they were the sons of two different men who just happened to have the same name, Alphaeus. And we know in the first century that there was a kind of a limited stock of names. And that's one reason why often when someone is mentioned, there's some further descriptor telling who they are the son of, who they are the brother of, or what town they come from. Just like in the listing of the 12, we've got to differentiate between Simon Peter and Simon the Canaanite, or Simon the Zealot. And so when Levi is called Levi, the son of Alphaeus, it's an attempt to differentiate him. And so there's a small stock of names, and so it certainly doesn't seem unreasonable to think that there might have been two different men named Alphaeus, and one had Levi, who was a son, who was a disciple of Jesus, and there was another Alphaeus who had a son named James, who was a disciple of Jesus, but these were not the same person. One reason that I think that we would argue for Levi and James not being brothers, not coming from the same father named Alphaeus, is the fact that there's nothing within the New Testament and nothing that I'm aware of in the post-apostolic writings, the writings of church fathers, that says that they were brothers. And certainly there is certainly a strong tradition within the New Testament itself to emphasize when there are disciples who are brothers, like Peter and Andrew, or James and John, who are brothers, who are disciples of Jesus. And that connection isn't made in any of the listings that we have in the canonical gospels. Again, it remains an interesting distinction that Mark 2:14 uniquely identifies Levi as the son of Alphaeus. I might just make two more notes regarding this passage, and again, attempting to understand it a little bit better. The first one is on text criticism. So we can't get too far away from text criticism, because I picked up my copy of the Nesselon 28th edition, the current edition of the Modern Critical Text, and I looked at Mark 2:14, and sure enough, there is a textual variation that is listed in the apparatus at Mark 2:14. And it's kind of an interesting one. There are a handful of manuscripts that where it in most of them it reads Levi. There are a handful where the scribes have written instead James, the son of Alphaeus, seeming to want to identify the tax collector who is called to follow Jesus, sitting at the receipt of custom, is not Levi, the son of Alphaeus, but James, the son of Alphaeus. And this reading occurs in Codex D It's in Codex Theta or Codex Coridethi. It's in the Family 13 group of manuscripts in Codex 565 and in the Old Latin. And it appears to be an effort, again, to harmonize Mark 2:14 with the listing of the disciples in Mark 3. And it picks up on Levi's call. This disciple is the son of Alphaeus, and they're thinking, well, is this James, the son of Alphaeus? But again, if that were the case, it would put Mark's call of this tax collector at variance with the account in Matthew and in Luke. It's also interesting, by the way, here that there is another even slighter variation in the manuscript evidence for the majority of passages that read Levi. There's a variation in the way the name is spelled. In the dominant stream, the name Levi is spelled with a final nu at the end of the word Levine, and this would be put it in the accusative form, and within the sentence it does its case should be accusative. Let's see, let me turn to it in Mark chapter 2 verse 14 in the Greek text. Let's see, it says, Kai paragon eiden levin ton tu alpheu kathemino epita telonion. Just read that part of it. And as he was going, he saw Levi, the one of Alphaeus or the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom of the tax collector's office. And it's in most of it reads, we would maybe just transliterate it as Levine. Again, the accusative form. And so that's in Papyrus 88. It's in the second corrector of Sinaiticus. It's in Vaticanus and in multiple other manuscripts. However, there is an alternative spelling where it's just the name Levi without that final nu. So it just puts it in sort of its uninflected nominative form. And sometimes in Greek, particularly with these foreign names, they'll just use the same form for the nominative as for the accusative. And so it's just a very slight, interesting variation in spelling. And that the spelling in the uninflected sort of nominative standard form Levi appears in the original hand of Sinaiticus and Alexandrinus and Codex K and again some others. And then it's also interesting to look at this in some of the standard Greek texts. Like I said, the Nestle-Aland 28th edition, it's the accusative form, Levine. I looked it up just to see in some of the majority text editions in the Hodges Farstad, Miss Levine, in Pickering's Greek text based on Family 35, it's Levine. However, in Robinson Pierpont, they put the uninflected form, Levi, Levi. In the Textus Receptus, the Scrivener edition published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, they have the accusative form Levine or Levi, Levine with a new on the end, Levi with a new on the end. So anyways, it's just interesting that obviously very early on there were scribes, more to the point with the handful that substituted James, Jacobone, rather than Levi there. So that there was very early on there were people sort of asking a question about the Levi son of Alphaeus, who is he? The second thing that's interesting, aside from the text critical questions, is also how this issue relates to what is called the synoptic problem. And again, since the 19th century, early 20th century, there has been a lot of conversation about how, particularly the first three gospels that are often called the synoptic gospels because they are said to look at the life of Jesus through the same lens. And again, a differentiation is made between them and John. And again, sometimes I think the wedge has been driven too deeply there. The uniqueness of John in comparison to the other Gospels has been noted very early on. Augustine noted this in his studies on the Gospels. But the question is there a literary relationship between Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Augustine believed Matthew was written first, and it was a source used by Mark and by Luke, and that explains the commonality. Since the 19th century, there arose the discipline called source criticism, and among many German scholars, they argued for not the priority of Matthew, but the priority of Mark. And they suggested that Matthew and Luke made use of Mark, and then they said there was also a hypothetical document called Q that was a collection of the sayings of Jesus, and then Matthew also drew upon special Matthew material M, and Luke drew upon special Lucan material L, and then those became the four sources, the four source hypothesis, Mark, Q, M, and L, and that's how that explains the commonalities between the first three gospels. I have tended to be more and more skeptical, though, of the mark and priority explanation. I mean, for one thing, there's no extant Q. It seems to be perhaps a far-fetched hypothesis that such a thing would have existed. And again, it's seeming more and more likely to me that just that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all knew of a standard faithful tradition about the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the deeds of Jesus, and then each just independently without any literary dependence on the others, although they may have been aware of the other gospels, but each composed his gospel but without a slavish literary dependence upon the others. And certainly Matthew would have been one of the apostles, would have had firsthand eyewitness experience of Jesus. Mark, according to tradition, would have had Peter as a source. Luke would have been a companion of Paul and would have had access to different sources on the life of Jesus from early Christians. And I think when you look at the call of Matthew slash Levi in particular, if there was a literary dependence among these three gospels, if Mark and Luke you borrowed from Matthew, why didn't they call this disciple Matthew? Why does Mark call him Levi, the son of Alphaeus? Why does Luke call him simply Levi? If Mark is the common source, so-called, why does Matthew change and refer to him as Matthew? Why does Luke not call him Levi, the son of Alphaeus, but Levi? And I think it is, I think, intellectually satisfying just to consider that each of the gospel writers, the evangelists, composed the gospel sort of on their own terms. And this explains some of these unique facets, these unique distinctions that we find in the gospels, like this one, where Levi is called by Mark in Mark 2:14, Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Well, anyways, like I said, I've got a post with some of the notes from this presentation on my blog, jeffriddle.net. And it's good to get another Word magazine out there. This one I know is a little bit shorter than some of the other ones that I have done, but hopefully it will be of some use to those who get the opportunity to listen to it. I will hopefully be adding some future Word magazines, so be on the lookout for those. Until then, take care and God bless.